Okay. So now Jesus takes off after his mother. They all come there and they live a long time and then they die and they bury Joseph of Arimathea there, and Mary Magdalene is buried there. And there are tombstones with their names on them. Jesus has a tombstone, and Mary's got a tombstone, and all this stuff is over there. And I have been to Glastonbury.
Does it say Jesus?
I've been there. It says Jesus on it. Yeah, it's in this book, too. And I've been to Glastonbury, and the first church is shaped. You almost think this could be a boat. You know, in the architecture and the shape and the size and all of that. So now you've got the Druids, you've got other disciples from Jesus who have come over. They go to back to Jerusalem and they get some more members of their society, and they're preaching along the way, and they build a strong community here in Glastonbury. And Glastonbury is where the Tor is, that big temple of God, the temple of Thor. And if you've been there, it has a real strong spiritual magnetic energy, and it's quite a place to visit. You'll never forget it, and you just feel it with you. But anyway, now we've got this community that is evolving and growing, and children are being born and raised, and 300 or 400 years later, 500 years later, the stage is set for another dynamic group or movement that we all know so much about. So guess what happens 500 years from A.D.?
King Arthur.
There, King Arthur. Where does he come along? Avalon. What's Glastonbury? Avalon. Where's the Ark? It's in Avalon. They bury the Ark underneath the St. Mary's Church. And who discovers the Ark and studies it? Merlin. Merlin has access to the Ark of the Covenant, pulls out those tablets. Why? Because he's of a high energy, and he aligns with the energies of the Ark, and he becomes a rod of initiation, and he takes this knowledge to King Arthur. And because King Arthur can pull the sword of truth out of the stone of materialism and open up the hearts and minds of the people in his round table. And that's what he does. He opens up their hearts and minds. A little bit like Uncle Joe does. Opens up your hearts and minds. Gets you to see a bigger picture. Gets you to see the real power vested in you through the light of your soul by the power of God. So that's what King Arthur did. And he builds a table. And it was interesting. I saw this same table a minute ago when you were doing a reading on... looked like an astrological table. But... here we go to King Arthur's table, King Arthur's court. And he has a room for 24 people. 12 men, 12 other men.
Women.
They could have been male, female, whatever they were. This is a table that had been found. That had, in fact, they found King Arthur's grave, too, and it had a lead cross, and here lies King Arthur, and he was betrayed by his son in a battle and killed when he was like 42 years old, but not before he had done a wonderful, magnificent job in organizing this utopian system of Camelot. And by utilizing this information from the Ark. Let's see if I'm missing anything in here.
You said that in France, Mary died, Joseph of Arimathea, and Jesus died again and was buried?
And in
Glastonbury.
In Glastonbury, not in France. They just stopped in France and did some teaching.
So he was buried a second time, or he was died?
Eventually, unless... they don't really know, you know, they have a tombstone they found in Glastonbury. It's the corner of a church, really. It may not even be a tombstone for Jesus, but it shows that they were there. It may not be, but they did bury Joseph of Arimathea is buried there. and the mother of Jesus is buried there.
Well, wouldn't you think she would be just taken up rather than buried a second time?
Yeah.
Well,
he
ascended. The ascension is not just a physical thing. It's the way you are in your mind, the way you can be an ascended master and be sitting right here. You don't have to be anywhere else. You could be right here. It's a consciousness that he knew who he was, that he knew his connection with the Christ, who basically had given him, taken him through that initiation of the resurrection of and let him go off to different parts, to France and England, and teach, share with others what he had learned. So, yeah, he didn't go. He didn't leave the planet. He stayed here and, well, you know, heck, he had a good thing going. He had a good message. Let's go teach it. So he did. And the interesting thing that he taught when all the teachings started to fall around him, you know, Jesus taught, you know, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ, Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so he saw himself as equal with God, but operating in the physical plane to raise the consciousness of humanity, which he couldn't do if he wasn't there. Okay, so then after the fall of Camelot, oh, now here's the interesting irony. Here's the irony. You mentioned the Holy Grail. Well, King Arthur creates this gathering of knights. He's the one that coins the word Knights of the Round Table. And they're all kind of empty. They're looking for something. And so he sends them on a quest to find the Holy Grail. And so off they go. Off the knights go. And they are in search of this grail, not knowing that collectively they formed a Holy Grail. See, the cup. The cup was empty. They represented the cup to be fed by Arthur, who was fed by Merlin, who was fed by the Ark of the Covenant. So all this information is being passed through people to be used to raise the consciousness of humanity according to the divine plan that has been with us always. So, saw the picture of the round table. Yep. Yeah. King Arthur dies, and it becomes a legend. You know, the vision basically dissolves, and Excalibur is thrown out into the lake, captured by the Lady of the Lake. And the only person that really understands what's going on, who sees the grail for what it is Percival, the son of Lancelot. And he knows what was going on, but by then it's too late. But that seed was planted too. Now, after all this light, you've got darkness. You've got the dark age coming. And along after Jesus leaves Jerusalem, you've got all these Romans who take these philosophies, these spiritual philosophies, and they say, you know what, there's a lot of power here. There's a lot we can do. We can take people's money. We can have power over them. All we have to do is corrupt their teachings. We won't tell them that they're wrong, because that won't work. What we'll do is we'll just use a little sleight of hand, and we'll get them to believe a little bit differently. And so they had these councils, and the first one was in Rome in 325, and it was the Nicene Council, when the Nicene Creed came up, and there was developed in the cardinals or the bishops, and they said, well, let's just teach that God is invisible. There's a trinity of gods, and the God is unapproachable, and we'll make it nebulous, and so they really won't know what they're worshiping.
They won't know unless they ask us.
Huh?
They won't know anything unless they ask.
They won't. Oh yeah, yeah. We are the authority, and no one is saved without the Catholic Church. No one, and we'll make them pay for their salvation, which they did. If you wanted to go to heaven, which this is one of their man-made fairy tales. If you have to go to heaven, you have to die. You have to die to go to heaven. What an oxymoron. How can you be in heaven if you're dead? Jesus taught that, you know. If heaven was when you're dead, he would have stayed dead and said, everybody, just come on, slash your wrists and follow me. It's better on the other side. But that's not the way it works. You create heaven on earth. You got a physical body for a reason. Because you can do things with it. This is where you learn, experience, experiment, have fun, drive fast cars, eat pizza, have sex, all kinds of fun stuff. So, but the council said, well, you know, we're going to do a little sleight of hand, and we'll teach that to go to heaven, you got to be buried where? On sacred ground. Guess what's behind every church over there in Europe?
A graveyard.
That's right, a cemetery. And if you were really bad, if you were a reprobate or an apostate, they would burn you at the stake or cut off your head. Why? Because Jesus wouldn't recognize you and you couldn't get resurrected.
Only way to kill a vampire.
So they taught all these things. Can you think of any other Christian fables that might have erupted around that period of time?
Yeah,